have something on my heart I've had for several days. A message like this is given as a warning, something to kind of make us think, I guess is a way to put it. And we need this. Ministers have them every once in a while along this line. I think the first minister I ever heard preach this along this line was Brother Leslie many, many years ago. Probably before I was ever preaching, so I'd be close to 42, 43, 44 years ago. And the Lord gives me something along this line occasionally. It's been a long time since I preached on it. But let's open in Isaiah 57, and I desire your prayers. I need the Lord's help this morning to be able to get this out. And I'm going to build this is not actually my text. Well, it's not my text. My text is on down in there a little bit. But I want to build a foundation. I want to give us something to get us thinking, and then we'll move on with the thought from there. So again, we desire your prayers. 57:15 of Isaiah. This is the only place in the whole Bible that I know of that has the word eternity in it. And it said, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the High and the Holy Place. With him also that is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Now then, what I want to deal with, and all I want out of this scripture is one area, and that is, he says, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity." Now then, what's eternity? I want us to think, what is eternity this morning? Eternity is duration or continuance without beginning or end. So it goes forever. There's no stop to eternity. Time here stops. You and I someday is going to stop. Everything's going to come to a ceasing end that's connected with this world and this time machine. But in God, with God in eternity, it never stops. It always goes. So once we step out into eternity, once we meet God at the end of every man's life with God, once we get there, it's going to be forever, whether we're in heaven or hell. We'll never get out of there. We can never change. What we find there will be what we will endure for the rest of eternity. Never stop. I want us to get that down. It's a continuance. Without beginning or end, it goes forever and ever and ever. God is there. Eternity and God, He dwells there. He lives there. It's His domain. Some people say, "Well, I can do what I want here," and you and I can. But when we get into eternity, we're dealing with Him there. It's no more our humane domain. It's not our way, our place. It's His, so to speak. I mean, we will dwell there somewhere in eternity. But the bottom line is, God runs it and controls it. He has all power over it. Everybody does what He wants there. He's the great I Am of eternity. He's forever and ever and ever. And listen, folks, tonight, I don't know about you all, my father's dead. He's been dead for a number of years. But the great I Am is my father now. It has been for over 45, 46 years. And I'm thankful tonight that though my natural dad died, I still have my heavenly Father. And He's there to bless me and work with me and to help me, to lead me and to guide me. I miss Dad. I miss his comments, I miss his things, but the bottom line is, I've got one even greater than him that I can pull from. The one that inhabits eternity. God, the great I Am. All right, let's go to Psalms 90. Psalms 90, to kind of tie in with this scripture. Psalms 90 and 2, 90 and 1 and 2, I guess. You're on the right page, you'll read right, Carl. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now listen to what this says. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. If you want to read something interesting, get into what Clark Commentary says on this. This is one of the greatest scriptures that talks about God from everlasting to everlasting. He said it never stops. Again, I want the idea of eternity. I want us to focus on eternity because you and I are going to deal with eternity. We're going to deal with it, and we don't know when. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know when life's going to stop. We don't know when we'll be sick. We don't know when we'll be well. Listen tonight. You and I are going to deal with eternity someday. So consequently, we're going to deal with it. We need to think about it. We need to look at it and look it over and think about it, consider it, weigh it out. Because eternity is something that's looming before us, and we don't know how quick it will come. So he said here, from eternity, I say, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth, before that. Now, I don't know how long before that. Some people say, well, where'd the devil come from? Where'd this? Where? I don't know. The Bible don't really declare that. But I know there is a God. I know that, praise God. And wasn't the blind man, didn't he say there, once I was blind, but now I see? I know the man that healed me, praise God, in the name of Jesus. And they were standing around looking at what he's doing. But he said, I see him. I know him. Listen, folks, today we can know this God. We can know the great I am. We can know the one that has created things and made things. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in all this stuff. I believe in a God that created you and I. I believe in a God that created all things. I believe in a God that has all power in heaven and earth and is able to do anything we need him to do. He said, I am that I am. Moses, tell Pharaoh that. I am that I am. I am the eternal existing God. And you and I always need to remember that. We don't ever want to forget it, because we'll deal with this God someday, somehow. Everybody will. At the end of every man's life is God. And today, you and I need to think about that. All right, let's go to John 4:24. John 4:24, to connect in with this. He says here, 4:24, that God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Jesus, when he came down and took upon him the form of a servant, he took upon him a body, just like you and I have. But God was always a spirit. He never done that. God is a spirit. That's different than you and I. He is always eternal. Always spirit. Let's see, the Bible says in one place, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Eternity has no time. We have time here. We deal with time. We deal with calendars. I have a calendar hanging in my bathroom that Becky got many years ago, a clock. It's one of those that you move the little numbers around and change it every month. I have to change that thing. I don't flip a page on it. I have to move numbers around to make it look right. Well, listen, folks, we deal with time constantly. God, there is no time. And he looks at us, and it's different. See, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. See, to him, it's all different. Listen, we can think about all the time we want to, but in eternity, there's no time. There's no end. It's always everlasting to everlasting. It never changes. It's always the same. And we're dealing with a spirit. We're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with the most mighty power that created everything. Created you and I. He had his hands in making you and I. He had his hands in keeping us alive. He uses his power to hold the ocean back. How many of us have seen the oceans? Been on all of them. Well, not all of them, but I've been on the East Coast, the West Coast, the Gulf. I've been down to Hawaii. I've been down to Puerto Rico. I've seen these. The water's beautiful. But the bottom line is, God has his hand in taking care. Or those things would just come ashore and never stop. You remember the tsunami that was the first one that hit? Now what shocked me when I read a book about it was how high the water got and how long it stayed. You'd think, well, it just come in and it went back out. It didn't. It stayed up 3 stories high for hours and hours before it began to abate and go back into the ocean. And the people sitting on top of their houses, sitting up in the third story of their homes and so forth, to try to get away from it. It was picking up this and that. It was destroying everything in its path that it could. The bottom line is, it was very destructive. God has to hold his hand to keep that from happening every day. or that water would just come in and destroy things. But He has the power. God is a spirit. He is the great I Am. And you and I will deal with Him one day. All right, let's go back to Job. We're going to jump around a lot here. Job, the 10th chapter. 10th chapter of Job, the 8th verse. Thine hands have made me, and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou bring me again? Wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. Now then, he says here, thine hands have made me, fashioned me together. And remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me as the clay. People get so excited. No, that ain't the right word. People get so proud. I'm not talking about you and I particularly. I'm talking about the world. They get so proud of who they are and what they are. Oh, I'm the handsomest man in this school. I'm the prettiest girl around. They take all kind of time getting their hair done and putting their makeup on and putting just the right clothes. Now, I'm not saying we can't be neat. I can't say we can't dress up. That ain't what I'm saying. When you get pride in it, when it gets wrong. And so consequently, these people do all these. There was a young man. He was living, well, he wasn't living there, but he married the daughter of quite a wealthy man that had a home that we cleaned about 10 to 12,000 square foot. It had a hall about 90 foot long on it, and bedrooms and rooms upstairs and down. At the end was the master bedroom. He was walking down that hall one day, and I looked at the way he was walking, and I thought, you are so proud it spills out all over you. Just pride everywhere. And the bottom line was everything he had come from his father-in-law. It didn't come because he was so smart. It didn't come because he had made a great business. His daddy, he had married Paul Clements had a daughter. He married that daughter. And Paul made him what he was. The house he had, the porch he drove, everything come from Paul, so to speak. But yet he was so proud. Well, let's put ourselves where we're at. We're clay. We're just clay is all we are. We're dirt. You know, and people get so excited how great a hair they have and how pretty they are and handsome they are. And yet when you boil it down, folks, we're nothing but dirt. And it don't take very much to break a clay pot. It don't take very much to just take dirt and just scatter it all over. My cousin, I understand this, that he wanted to be cremated. Now, I was able to see his body the other night because evidently they embalmed it and kept it there. But then that was Wednesday night that Craig and I went over there. And then Thursday they were supposed to have a memorial service and he was already cremated. I thought, well, Susan, I didn't tell her this, but I thought, well, if you're just going to do that, keep him one more day and let everybody see him at the funeral. And he said, I want to be cremated, and wife, I want you to take me to High Peak in Colorado and just spread my ashes out. My sister wants her ashes spread out over the ocean out there near Hawaii. That's where she lives, what she told my brother. Said, there's a company that does that. I just want God to get me to heaven. What happens to this old frame? That's up to wife if I'm remarried or whatever. If there's one thing I'm shooting for, and that's glory, praise God. But we're dirt. We're dust. We don't amount. If you boil it down, I think we're amounted to about 89 cents is all we're worth. And yet people think they're so great. The singers, the actors, the politicians. Dear President Trump, he is so proud. I'm glad he's in office, but he's a proud man. And I guess, I don't know about his wife and Ivanka and all them, but the bottom line is those people are proud. But listen, folks, they're created just like we are. They're dirt, dust, clay, just like we are. That's all they are. Donald Trump is a human being like we are, even though he's worth more, and I wouldn't mind having a little bit of his money. I could make it a lot easier on some people around me if I had it. But the bottom line is, he's a human being made out of clay and dirt. And thou bring me into dust again? Are you going to bring me back to dust? Yeah, we're going back to dust. My mother had a sister that was born, I don't remember where in the line. There were four girls that lived. Mama was a baby. And I don't remember if this, it seemed like this was born in between the four of them, I think. Anyway, Grandpa at that time just took and they made a wooden basket, a wooden box, pine box as they call it, fixed it up, put some cloth in it and so forth, laid the baby in there and buried it out behind the house. Well, then they put a cemetery at the chapel down there in Lewin. And so they moved it. So guess what? Somebody got curious and opened that box. You know what's inside? A little bit of dust and hair. That's all that was in there. Dust. Just dust. The baby was just dust. So we're going to go back to dust again, Job says. We're going to go back with dust. Even though thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, had fenced me with bones and sinews, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. But the bottom line is we're still going back to dust one day. All right, let's go to my text. 40 of Isaiah. Isaiah 40. 40 and 1 of Isaiah. This is my burden right here. Brevity of life. Brevity means shortness applied to time as the brevity of the human life. So no matter how long people live, the bottom line is they're going to die one day. Life is short. Now you compare that to eternity. Even if a man lived 1,000 years compared to forever, to everlasting, that's nothing. It's nothing. What if we was, alright, let's say that I made a statement, I'm going to drive to California. And then somebody said, well, I'm going to drive to Oklahoma City. What's the furthest? California. So a lot further trip. But yet, our lives is of shortness compared to what's out there. I've made a lot of short trips. I've made a lot of long trips. I've been all over this country, up and down across it. I've flown across it, and I've drove across it. I've gone from coast to coast by car. I've run 24 hours a day and never stopped. I've driven it by myself 24 hours a day and never quit. That was a challenge to see a certain girl I'm married to later. I had to rack my nerves. I was having real trouble when I got there, but we did it. We did it by the help of the Lord. All right, 40 and 1 of the good book of Isaiah said, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now then, the voice of God said, cry. And the preacher said, what shall I cry? And he said, all flesh is grass. And as the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field, The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But then it said, but the word of the Lord, the word of our God, shall stand forever. So there is something solid in all of this, and that is the word of God. The word of the Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word of God is going to be there for you and I, no matter when we get to the end of life. No matter how everything ends up, there's one thing we can count on and stand on, and that's the word of God. But the bottom line is, he said the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. There have been many beautiful flowers. Some women have a gift of planting in the house and out of the house and planting and have the most beautiful flower gardens. One, there's a big rose garden in Orangeburg, South Carolina that they have there. It has all types of roses. Beautiful. Just go from one set to another. All colors and everything. They're beautiful and everything. And they look good. But they will eventually fade. They will eventually wither. The blooms will fall off. And it's got to start over again if it will. But listen, folks. It said the grass withereth. The grass don't last forever. You get it hot enough with no rain, what happens? It turns brown. It ain't pretty anymore. It takes rain. It takes sunshine. It takes all of that, the God's blessings, for the grass to stay good and beautiful. But people trump on it. People cut it. It falls. It weathers. It goes down. And listen, folks, today, our lives are just like the grass. In other words, it don't last very long. And it's gone. It's out of here. Oh, today, but the word of the Lord. Praise God for something that's going to be there when we need it. Now then, if you look at the first, five verses of this, you can apply that to the coming of the age of grace. Part of what that's talking about. Said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. God comes in, and God, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Listen, folks, God takes the highs and brings them down, he brings the lows up, and he just straightens everything out by salvation, praise God. He does what nobody else can do. There's a lot of people trying to quit smoking and quit drinking, trying to quit gambling and so forth. These addictions have a strong power to them. But listen, God can straighten them out in a few moments. There's a young man out in North Carolina. I've not dealt with him personally, but I'm trying to help the woman that is dealing with him, Sister Linda, and working with her. And this boy has gotten on the bottle, and he's consumed with vodka. He's drinking vodka over and over. And he's addicted, strongly addicted. She said, Michael, God can deliver you. He can take that out of you. He can deliver you in such a way you don't even want it anymore. Are you praying? Yes, yes, Mama Lane or whatever he called it. I'm praying. She said, don't. You may not have what you want now, but don't. Keep looking, keep searching, keep digging, because God's able to bring them up. He's able to bring them out. He's able to deliver them and do what nobody else can do for them. Praise God. Oh, today, they said cry. That's why I say this is a message that comes along ever so often to make us think. Cry. We're going to lose. We're going to come to life. No matter how long we live, it's just a hand's breadth compared to eternity. I heard him say that enjoy your children, spend time with them, because for long they're gone, and they were. They're both gone now. One doing one thing, one another, but they're gone. And then we looked at one another after we got over the empty nest syndrome and all the bawling, so to speak. Well, sweetheart, I still love you. I still love you. And we took off, started doing our thing. We were having fun together when she died. We were traveling and we were doing this and doing that. We loved one another. We enjoyed being together. That's why it's been so hard for me to give her up. It's the fact that I love being with her and we had a good life together. But at 59 and almost, one month, about 1 month short of 60, she stepped out of here. Her mama died at 45. Evelyn died at 40, let me think. See, Becky was 59, mom was 45, and Evelyn, I guess, was about 52, I think, when she died, or 55. Becky was older than all of them, but the bottom line was her life was gone in a short time. How long are we going to live? How long are we going? Go to cemeteries and look at it. What do you find in cemeteries? Is it all 100-year-old people? No. Is there babies in there? Yeah. Is there teenagers in there? Yeah. Is there middle-aged people in there? Yeah. Is there old people in there? Yeah. They're all there from A to Z. They're all there of all various ages. Just go and look at tombstone after tombstone after tombstone. It shows the shortness of life. All right, let's go to Job 14, 1 and 2. Job 14, 1, 2. Like I said, we're jumping around. I've got quite a few scriptures. Man that is born of a woman is full of days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, and he's cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. In other words, again, very quickly, no matter how you look at it, man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Life does not give everybody a bed of roses all the time. Somebody texts me, I've got shower problems. And I said, well, I'm sorry about your problems. They said, well, it's part of life. I said, yeah, but it's putting more stress on you. They don't know what it is. They need some help to get it quiet. And I hadn't been able to get there. I don't know if I'll ever look at it or not. But the bottom line is, we are born of a woman of a few days, and we're full of trouble. We have all kinds of problems to deal with. In our short span of time, we're here, and we need God. We need man. We need children. We need old people. We need people to help us. He just come forth like a flower. Beautiful. Moving out. Doing his thing. Getting an education. Getting a job. Getting a home. Getting a wife. Getting children. Whatever. And then he is cut down. A few days ago, I was 30 years old. And now I'm 64. I don't have much time left if you go 3, 4, and 10. I've got 6 years. What do you think I'm doing with that 6 years? If I'm going to do anything, I've got to do it now. I don't have a long time to deal. So consequently, he cometh forth like a flower, and he's cut down. He fleeth as a shadow. Shadows, how long do shadows stick around? Not very long, do they? They're just gone, just like that. You can see a shadow, and wow, it's not there. Continueth not. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1 and 24. 1 Peter 1 and 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But again, this is connected right back into Isaiah. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And some people say, well, that's Old Testament. This is new, folks. This is getting into the New Testament here. This is bringing it right on over. The writer said, cry. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Well, then this writer, he brought it right on down. Peter did. And he said, here, I'm going to tell you again, folks. You got to look at it that your life is going to be short no matter what. And even at 90 years, even at 100 years, our life compared to eternity is nothing. We need to think about that. We need to consider that. That's the reason the Bible said, be ready, for in such hours you think not the Son of Man cometh. No matter how long we live, we need to be ready 24 hours a day, every second of every day, because we don't know when this life is going to go out of here. You know, well, I'm 100 years old, but you might die tonight. There has been thousands upon thousands of people that have died. The amount of people that die per hour is 6,200 something per hour around the world. All right, if you multiply that out by 24, that's about 150,000 people per day. That's a lot of people. How big is Webb City? How big is Joplin? Shawnee is about 30 to 35,000 people. That's almost five times the size of Shawnee. That is 150,000 people, as much more than many a town across this whole country that are dying every 24 hours. Well, my baby daughter, she has got a way of challenging her old dad. And she said, well, why don't you look up and find out how many babies are born per hour or per day? It's about twice that many. It's between 300,000 and 350,000 babies are born every 24 hours around the world. So you would think 150 is decreasing, but 350 is doubling it and just keeping it going. That's why the population's exploding like it is, because of that. But still, people are dying. They die in all kinds of ways. Their life comes to an end many, many times before they're expecting it. It's only fleeting. It's only as a shadow. It's only as a vapor. It's gone. What about us? For all flesh is as grass, the glory of man as the flower of grass. Now then, we were cleaning a dental office many, many years ago and doing floors in there best. I remember I walked in this guy's office and he had all kind of plaques and awards on the walls. I mean, you'd think this great guy ever lived. I don't know how old he was, but he had all kinds of awards there. But his life is just like yours and mine. It's going to be gone. No matter how rich they are, no matter how poor they are, the glory of man. Trump's got a lot of glory. This dentist had a lot of glory. I know a doctor that was a lawyer and a doctor both. He was just getting this degree and that degree and doing all kinds of things. All his glory. But the bottom line was, the glory of man as a flower of grass. It's going to be gone in just a little bit. He may die before his wife. Oh, today, shortness of life. No matter how long we live, is nothing compared to eternity. Everlasting to everlasting. But again, it said, the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's what we've got to hook everything into right there, is the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God. All right, let's go to James. Here's a couple close together. James 1 and 10. James 1 and 10. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. But the rich. Let's see here. First, where's that at? That's Peter. No wonder I'm not finding it. It's in Timothy. Where he talks about the rich man. Isn't that in Timothy? For the love of money. Now let's get back to 1 Timothy 6, 9. 6, 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, didn't say money itself, said the love of it is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and fall after spiritual things. When the crash come in 29, what happened to several rich people? You young ones probably don't know unless you read it. Many rich ones killed themselves. In the deal of 87, in October of 87, they had another downturn. I think it dropped 500 or 600 points in one day. I think one or two men killed themselves because they lost a lot of money. It's just paper. It's just paper figures and all it is. But their value dropped thousands and thousands of dollars and they shot themselves. So the Lord says here, to prevent that kind of thing, it said, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what is going to last. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. How many of you have ever seen that in a human being? I imagine we go, if you do anything rich, I've cleaned their homes for years. Cleaned their home. I've watched them. I've seen their big cars. I never have seen their planes. I just know they had Lear jets. Had pilot on call 24 hours a day. They would have a party and put $1,000 worth of center flower pieces all over the house. $1,000 just for flowers. I couldn't afford that. I could barely buy Becky a $5-$10 set of roses for Valentine's. You know, I couldn't afford that, and you can't either. But that is no problem with them. They're rich. They've got a lot of things. But the bottom line is, James here says, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. He's going to be no better than anyone else. He's going to be no better than the grass. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but is withered the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade in his ways. Now then, Brother Steve Elwell told a story, true happening, of a doctor. This was a heart surgeon. He was quite renowned. He was in a hospital. And the Elwells have heart problems. It's a kind of a genetic thing. I don't know what you all know of it, but Becky's first cousin, Quita, was married to Chuck Elwell. And Chuck was Steve's older brother. And so I know a little bit about it being in the family. But the bottom line was, one of the brothers had heart problems. And they rushed him to the hospital. I don't remember which one it was now. They rushed him to the hospital, and they're working on him and working on him. And the cry goes out, pray, pray. He's in trouble. He's not saved. He's in a hospital. He needs help. Well, another man that was a famous heart surgeon in the same hospital had a heart attack right about the same time the Elwell man did. They brought in the best. They couldn't save him. That man died. The Elwell man lived. Now, I know there's mercy of God in all this, but the rich do not have a special lot on this thing, folks, no matter who they are, how much money they've got, or anything. That doesn't matter when it comes to God. Their life is no more valuable than yours and mine. They may think it is. They may live in finery. They may have the big cars. They may fly the big jets. All of this, they may have all of that. Donald Trump's personal private jet is in gold inside. Seen pictures of it. It's gorgeous in there. He can fly all over the country. He can do anything he wants to do. I can't do that. But the bottom line is, when he gets down, he's no more valuable in life itself than I am. A poor man that I am. He, the rich, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts, all of those people like that, they are no more valuable than you and I. Their life is going to be short, even at 70, 80 years. Donald Trump's already 70, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He's 70 or 71. All right, let's go to Psalms 22 and 29. Let's begin to maybe bring this on down a little bit. Psalms 22 and 29. Things flee away as a shadow, gone in a moment's time. All they that be flat and fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Now then, you would think, if you looked at it from a rich man's point of view, that he could buy himself anything he wanted. But it's all even plain here. He has, like I said, he has no inside angles to this thing. Money will not save his soul in the fact of keeping him alive if it's time to die. When his life is out, it's out. He said here that he cannot keep alive his own soul. He cannot do anything more than you and I can. And that is the only thing that can work here is pleading the blood and the power of God. The Christ, the working. Brother Wilson, Brother Austin's dad. I can't think of which one that was. Anyway, he had been a great preacher for a number of years. When I say great, he was great among us. People loved him, respected him, and so forth. And he come down to the end of life. And I believe Brother Austin, I believe it was his father. And he come to his father, And he said, you know, Dad, you preached all these years and so forth, and you're fixed to step out in eternity and be with God and so forth. And you know what you're thinking? He said, if it wasn't for the shed blood of Christ, folks, that's what's getting me in, is the shed blood of Jesus. And no matter what I've done, how many messages, how many congregations I've pastored, how many evangelists, meetings I've held, that don't mount anything. Now, it's up to the shed blood of Jesus that's going to make my clear cut moving right out into eternity. And he died sometime after that. Alright, let's go to 1 Chronicles 29 and 15. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were our fathers, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this stone that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and is all thine own. Now let's go to the 14th verse. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. If people would use common sense and just look behind them, Paul Harvey made a statement one time, said, we as people can move on if we learn from our mistakes and quit doing them. But said, every generation goes through about the very same thing over and over and over. He said, they don't learn and they don't stop. They still got to do the same thing. If everybody learned that smoking kills you and quit smoking, the cigarette factories would be out of business. If everybody'd see that alcohol is not good for you and quit that, that'd be all over. There wouldn't be no alcohol refineries anywhere. The same way with drugs. If they see drugs as a killer and stop all that, learn from back here. But they're not learning. They have to do the same thing over and over and over. He said here, and strangers before thee, sojourners as were all our fathers. Look at it. Our dads are all dead. Or at least mine is. Yours may not be, but mine had been. And there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of fathers that are dead. They're in the tombs. It's all over. Look at what they had. They had life, but it was short. I wasn't ready to give up my father. I wasn't ready to turn him loose when he died. It was a little bit tough. Well, it was tough. I loved my dad. And we were just, he had been a truck driver all of my life, and he had retired. And this one, Craig and I got to have him, and about 7 years, he was gone. And we, you know, it's kind of felt cheated, so to speak, if you want to say that. But it wasn't God's fault. I'm not blaming the Lord. It was him. He couldn't quit driving. He got diesel blood in his system. And he said, when you get that in, you don't want to give it up. And he didn't. He drove on and on and on. So, look at our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. They're gone. They've stepped out of here. Job 8 and 9. Another place to give us an idea on this. Job 8 and 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Again, fast moving. Don't take very long and we're gone. Life is as a shadow. It doesn't last very long. Let's go to James 4 and 13. Time's getting away on me here. 4 and 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go unto such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. For whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. Who can tell me what tomorrow is going to bring forth? None of us know that. You can get up with big plans and have everything set in place, and it can be shattered in 1 second's time. Totally changed. Maybe for the rest of your life. Maybe you personally, I'm talking about you can get sick or you can be in an accident or something and change your whole life in a few moments' time. We do not know what's on tomorrow. We do not know that. For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. When you fire up a pot, a steam kettle, and that vapor starts coming out, when the heat quits, what happens? It's gone. Now, as long as the heat's to it, it'll keep, and while the water's in there, it'll keep removing the vapor, the steam, whatever you want to call it, it'll keep it going. But once the heat's turned down or the water quits, it's all over with. Just like that. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. So we should say, Lord willing, we'll do this or that. That's where the saints are so careful, most of them anyway, I'd say, are very careful about saying, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Lord willing, we're going to do it, because we know not what's going to be on tomorrow. 90 of Psalms in third verse. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, return, you children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, help us right here. So he's saying here that all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I know this is saying somewhat the same thing over and over, but I want to drive this thought home. I'm using scripture to do it. There's a lot of people that have told a lot of things about life, but those people are all gone. They're out of here. You go back, how did they bring the Old Testament forward? They had it on a deal, but it was told over and over and over. It was brought down by basically voice and memory. And they did have the roles and so forth. They had all that. That's true. But still, they passed it along one to another. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Now the days of our year are 70. How long is that? 70. The oldest man to live was Methuselah, wasn't he? It was 935 or 985, somewhere along in there. Over 900 years. Now, it's a long time. But how many people you know that's that old? How many people do you know that's 100 years old? Anybody know a person that's 100? I know one. He's in the Golden Rule Home over at the Bud. Was in Shawnee's 102 now, I think. I had the privilege of preaching a woman's sister's funeral that barely made 100. And you think about 100 years. I worked with that. and brought out all the things she had seen from the time she was born till that time. This has been several years ago. This was, well, it's been within the last 10 years, I guess, because we were living in Shawnee. So it was probably, yeah, 05, 06, somewhere along there. And there's a lot of things you can work with 100 years. But it said the days of our years are 70 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, we fly away. If you live another 10 years, there's going to be the regular hubbub of life. There's still going to be pain. There's still going to be sorrow. There's still going to be all these things we've got to deal with. Even if we live 10 more years, and if our health is failing, then that ain't going to be fun neither. The bottom line is, and then he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Lord, help us to think about this and be sure that we're doing what we need to do because of the shortness of life. We never know. How many of us had somebody die while you was in high school? Anybody here had that happen? Sister Carol did. Had a boy by the name of Tiny. Tiny was real tall. He was real slim but real tall. And he went to sleep or something happened. He veered off the road and hit a bridge abutment or a train trestle deal or whatever. And it killed him. Shocked us all. That's life. I tell you another one that got my real attention was when Rosalie Sammons died. Remember Rosalie? You young ones probably don't. Sister Rosalie was John's wife. And John's my age. We're just a few months apart in age. I don't know if I'm older than him or younger than him. He's either October, February older, or I'm February to October old. I don't know which it is. But anyway, we're close. We have spent and done things together way back in the early 70s when I was in the service station business. He used to come down and we'd sit and talk and visit and so forth. He married Rosalie. Rosalie was in Guthrie. Rosalie was running around with the young people. She was one of my friends. She died of cancer at a fairly young age. And I'm going to tell you, it stunned me. I said, Rebecca Ann, this is one of my peers. Is dead already. It has a way of getting your attention when somebody your age that you've been close to and done things to, when they step out of this life and go out into eternity, it has a way of affecting you. We need to keep that kind of thought pattern all the time. Shortness of life. Go to the cemeteries and look. Read the papers. Look at all the obituaries. I have had the privilege. Well, I've looked at the obituary. Not the Oklahoma City, but Shawnee, which is smaller. And there are many times in those obituaries saints that I am older than several of them that's died. That shakes you up too. They're only 50. They're only 55. They're only 60. Oh my. It has a way of getting your attention. Think about these things that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Folks, we're going to have a short life. No matter how many years we live, it's going to be short. And we need to think about that. We need to consider that. Be therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. All right, let's go to Proverbs. Let's finish up here. Proverbs 27:1. Then we'll go back to Psalms and we'll be through. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. So it said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know, people get to boasting, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and just goes on and goes on and goes on. But we don't know, folks. Had to have a cousin, I guess he's still alive as far as I know. He was in a wreck as a young man. I believe that's what happened to him. And anyway, he's been in a nursing home for years. A basically vegetable. Went and seen him once or twice. He's just laying there. He had a whole life. He was only in his early 20s. Had a whole life ahead of him. Know another man down in Mississippi. Loved this man dearly. And he come down with Alzheimer's. With dementia, and went into Alzheimer's, and to our shock and horror, he was gone in his mind in a very short time. We went to see him. And there's four or five of us. He didn't even know we were in the room. I looked at him. I wanted to cry. Maybe I did cry. I don't know. That had been several years ago. I looked it over and thought, just a few days ago. Well, it wasn't that short. But within a few months, it 5 or 6 months, he was totally mentally gone. And that's hard to accept. But if he wasn't ready, when he got in that shape, I don't know what the Lord does with him then. That's between him and God. All right, let's finish. Last scripture, 89 of Psalms 47, 48. 89 of Psalm 47 and 48. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Have you found anybody? Be an old man, wouldn't he? An old woman. They're out there. Life is short. I missed one somewhere. I missed a scripture somewhere. Let me look here. I think it's right here. Yeah, here it is right here. Lord, make... This is 39 of Psalms. I'm jumping around in Psalms. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Because thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth, mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. As a hand's breadth. What is a hand's breadth? Who can tell me what a hand's breadth is? All right, you compare that to everlasting, that's nothing. That's about like an ant. And how small is an ant? I can't see them. How many of you have ever been in a jet and tried to see in a car at 40,000 feet? You can't see them. You can see your land, you can see some home, but there's some things, the higher you get, they basically just disappear because of the height. You can be up in the Empire State Building in New York City, and your taxi cabs look like they're like little hot cars, Hot Wheels, about that long. And you're only, 102 stories up there. You compare that to 35 and 40,000 feet, and there's nothing. Oh, Lord, help us. Thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Our age means nothing to God. One morning, within the first month after my wife passed, I had stayed down at the chapel. I did not stay by myself at all the first 30 days after she died. I either had my daughter in the house with me, or I stayed with somebody, or this time John Boer was down at the chapel, so he wanted me to stay down there, so we had beds, and he was in one room and I was in another, and I was going home that morning. And I was bawling over Becky, as I call it. I said, Lord, she was so young. She was so young, Lord. I said, this cousin Kawita, the one that was married to Chuck Elwell, and she looked at me and said, Carl, Chuck was only 57 when he died. Paul Coe was only 46 when he died. And I said, she's so young. She's so young. And the Lord spoke to me so plain, said, child, age does not matter to me. It's eternity that counts. Help me to make no count it up, Lord. Years don't mean anything to him. It's eternity. What did Jesus come for? He come to make a plan of salvation. He gave his life. He left eternity. He come down here and took on the fleshly body of a servant so that he could make a plan where you and I could have something that we'd never had before. The power, the victory, the glory, and then we could go to heaven. It's eternity that counts, folks. That's what he told me. The tears dried up and I got to thinking about that. Didn't think about Becky anymore right at that point like that. The bottom line is, he said, it's eternity, child. I done everything I done for one thing, to get you a home in heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. I went to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I come again to receive you unto myself. Praise God.
Our life is short, folks. She's gone. I can't bring her back. I wouldn't, it gets down to it, I wouldn't if I could. Even though I miss her so bad at times, I cried a little bit this morning. We used to, when we would enter into the state of Missouri, we'd roll the window down and she'd go, smells so good, Missouri. Well, I'd done that and the tears flowed a little bit. The pain was there a little bit. She's gone. She can't do that anymore. But it's not only Rebecca Hand. There's thousands upon thousands of people's lives that did not go very long. Shortness of life. Brevity of life. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.